Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, beautiful people. Good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is or day of the week it might be. You are here, and I'm grateful. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, as you just heard from the introduction by my lovely wife. This is the No BS Bishop Alive to Love radio broadcast. This is a project that's been going on now for 4 years plus, something I'm super proud of, super pleased to be a part of, glad that we're doing this, and I'm glad you're joining us out there, wherever you are out there. What we do here on the No BS Bishop Alive to Love is we contemplate and meditate, conjugate on the whole purposes of love. And to that end, I like to open up our broadcast with Love's Creed, a creed that I wrote for myself as a New Year's resolution a little over 10 years ago. Something I never thought or dreamed that would become something of public consumption. I think I might have shared it early on in a church service or two, but now I realize this is really a very good contemplation. This is a very good means by which we can assert our thoughts and our meditations and our will toward the greater purposes of love in our life. So what I want to do is I'll read it in total, have you just consider and think about what I'm reading to you. And then at the end of reading it in total, I'll go back and I'll read it in short bursts and have you repeat after me. I have done hundreds of weddings through the years. It's been my pleasure and honor to have the best seat in the house is what I like to tell people, because I see the tears, the smiles, the joys, whatever else, the pathos that's going on in a crowd when a bride and groom are getting married. I wish I could see your faces as I give you Love's Creed, but I do imagine that you're out there considering the depth of what I'm challenging you with. So I'll give it to you in total, then go back and I'll have you repeat it after me. Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right. Now let me go back and give it to you in a repeat after me form and savor the words. Would you? I would invite you to do that. And also, if you'd like a copy of this, feel free to write me at my email, randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all lowercase, all one word for randydeanministries@gmail. I'd be happy to send you a typed up copy. All right, here we go. Repeat after me, please. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Those words resonate with me deeply and profoundly. I'm happy that they are a part of my life, part of my toolbox for managing my life, going forward with my life, making me reconsider what I want to do or not want to do. So to that end, this is Holy Week as I'm recording this, so give you a little backstory on why I want to talk about what I want to talk about. Matthew 27:3 talks about the story of Judas in the Holy Week drama. His character, his story is so, how do I say it? There's so much depth to his story. This broadcast will actually come out on Easter Sunday morning, so I'm backing the story up a little bit to take you toward the run-up to the resurrection. And in that week prior to the resurrection, there is this character, and we all have heard his name in one form or another, Judas. With the name has become synonymous with betrayers, people who have backstabbed us, people who have used us or abused us, people who have done us wrong. Now, see, I hope you are catching on where I want to go today with this episode of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. Those who have betrayed or done us wrong. Oh, and not just any betrayal. Oh, no. Judas is known for the betrayal of the Son of God. And not just any betrayal of the Son of God, but as we know famously, Judas betrays Christ with a kiss. It is with that friendly, intimate gesture of identifying Jesus with a kiss for the guards and the police that had come to arrest Christ that Jesus pulls away, looks him in the eye. Oh, maybe even Judas would be able to say, he looked into my soul. And Jesus said, with a kiss, you betray me. Wow. What an emotion, pathos-filled drama. How in the world am I going to take this toward a discussion of love? Well, I am. It needs to be discussed in a way that brings some texture and depth to the story. Matthew 27:3 I referred to earlier. And it says that Judas regretted his decision, went back to the authorities that had bought him off for 30 pieces of silver to identify Jesus. He went back, threw the money at their feet, and was full of remorse, it says. He regretted deeply his decision. All right, so here's how I want to apply this to the lesson of love today. We are all, each one of us, letting something cook inside of our kitchen, our internal kitchens of the recipes of life. Something's cooking in there, and it's cooking toward benefit and healing and growth, or, like with Judas, as he made decisions along the way following Christ, something's cooking in the kitchen, and it's burning. It's not healthy. It's dragging us away from love. It's taking us away from the power of a commitment to love. You see, Judas had heard what the other disciples were hearing, and that was Jesus told them, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. They're going to crucify me, and on the third day I'll rise again. Well, my. So Judas in the 12 is... he's not unlike any of you or me. Something in his kitchen is saying, wait, what? What is, no, that cannot be. And he's finding himself on the outside looking in, isn't he? And yet through it all, Jesus is loving Judas as much as he's loving the other 11 in the disciple crew. His love for Judas was no less. His love for Judas was exactly the same. In fact, Jesus offered Judas communion on Good Friday, on Maundy Thursday leading to Good Friday. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. Jesus was to Judas as he was to Peter. He was to John or Matthew. Jesus was exactly to Judas what Jesus was to all the other disciples. Because love was Jesus' true north. Love was the contemplation with which he saw this man, Judas, who Jesus knew all along. Something's cooking in him that he's going to have to deal with down the road. Now, once again, I refer to Matthew 27:3, where Judas did, with remorse, take the money back to the authorities and regretted, deeply regretted what he had done. Now let's go back to me and you. Have you ever regretted anything? Have you ever wondered, why did I say that? Why did I do that? What was wrong with me? Why did I go there in my words or actions? Well, I want to propose to you, it's because something was cooking in your emotional kitchen that was left on the stove until it burned. It's important for each of us to recognize that love is the one recipe that doesn't fail. Love is the one means by which we are invited to cook our internal reality. I believe the primary purpose of love isn't to get others to do what we want. In fact, that's impossible. If that were possible, well, then Jesus would have gotten Judas to do exactly what he wanted out of and away from the betrayal. Jesus loved Judas, but it wasn't to control or manipulate him. It was to simply love Judas. The primary purpose of love isn't to get others to do what we want them to do, but the purpose of love is for our own internal formation so that the ontological repair, which means healing of my inner being, our repair is complete. Love for others is as much for ourselves as it is for others. In fact, could I dare say love for others is as much or more for us than it is for others? To love ourselves is to create an atmosphere for loving others. To love others internally, to carry an ontological repair within us that is called love, that we're loving others in a way that sustains the aroma of our own emotional, spiritual kitchen in a beautiful way, rather than something's burning in the kitchen. I hope you get my drift here. The pathos, the emotional tragedy of Judas is that Judas somewhere, somehow, in his own internal kitchen, was considering how he was going to fix everybody else. You've heard me say it here before. To fix, manage, and control is the recipe of codependency. Codependency is what we do, and hi, I'm Randy, I'm a codependent. What we do when we're not healthy and trying to fix, manage, or control other people, to enlist them to our side, to manage them, to shame people to believe what we believe, rather than loving people toward whatever goals we have in our life and leave them free to choose their own goals. Codependency, I'm convinced, is what may have been cooking in Judas. It may have been something where he, listening to Christ talk about this awful arrest and crucifixion, Judas was considering how I can fix, manage, and control that. No siree. I don't care what the other 11 disciples are going to do. I'm going to fix, manage, and control this scenario. Well, he did. And Matthew 27:3 makes it very clear. He regretted deeply that path of action. Love is the path of action that we are being invited to live, if for nobody else, but for our own well-being, so that our own mental health is sustained. Love is a medicine for our emotional well-being, for our mental well-being, for our spiritual well-being, for sure. And understand that the primary purpose of love is not to get others to do what we want them to do, but the primary purpose of love is to shape our inner world. I'm convinced that Jesus was able to manage this horrific drama with Judas with the one simple act and choice of love. Knowing that Judas was twisted in his reasoning, knowing that Judas had something inside of him that was owning his own decision-making, even Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, even Jesus would not surrender to the unhealthy notion of seeking to control Judas, but simply to love Judas. Who's in your life that's making bad decisions? Who is in your life that is creating their own hell? Who in your life is going ways that you'd rather fix, manage, and control? Who in your life has such a, oh my, how do I say it kindly? I don't know how to say it. They just have a destructive trajectory going on. There's one way to manage that person, and it's not by trying to manage them. It's to manage you as you see them. And in that process, you are genuinely managing them without fixing, managing, and controlling. Their choices in life are their choices, and what they're going to want to know is, do you still love them? Whatever the result of their choices may be. Whatever their choices may take them to, and maybe in betrayal. For Judas, betrayal was this horrible final destination. And as we all know, he died by suicide. He hung himself. What a tragic end. And a tragic end in the face of the perfect love of God that was happening in Christ toward him. Now, remember, as I'm saying here, the love of God isn't a guarantee of any outcome, except it's the guarantee that we will remain ourself healthy. And it's also the guarantee that the person we are loving, as Jesus loved Judas, that guarantee that they are still available for a soft place to land in their bad choices. Now, I know there's controversy about Judas. I know some people say, may he burn in hell forever. I know there's some people who are more than eager to ship him off to eternal conscious torment. I'm not one of those people. I'll give you your own right to choose what you think. But in my world and in my view of the love of God, Matthew 27:3 tells me Judas regretted. He had deep remorse. He even made repairs. He made amends by taking the money back to the people who bribed him. This is, for me, where I land. And with Judas, I land on the surface and the foundation of love. And however that changes my own view of Judas, I'll leave that with you to decide. But I know I've decided that Judas and Jesus, somewhere in eternity, found each other, and there was another kiss. It makes me choke up to consider it, to consider the possibility. I know not how. I can't give you an exact scenario, but I can only give you a proposal that love would have drawn Judas back to the arms of Jesus, that love would have drawn Jesus to the arms of Judas, that somewhere on the other side of eternity, that Judas and Jesus met, and there was another kiss. Another cheek was loved by the lips of a broken man by the name of Judas. And the cheek of Judas was healed by the lips of Christ to say, oh, my child, baby boy, I know you better than you know yourself. I know you better than you've ever been able to consider your own self, and my love for you has never varied, no matter what became of our relationship in those tragic days leading up to the crucifixion. You see, after Jesus was raised from the dead, now let me turn this corner just a bit. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and he walked into a room that had been locked for fear against the authorities of the day. Jesus walked into that room, and he said one word. Listen to this carefully. Peace. Do you know that on some level, all 12 disciples betrayed Christ? You remember Peter, right? Peter cursed at the trial, saying, I don't know him. He was being accused in the audience. Oh, you're one of his. And Peter said, no, 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 and he cursed. He did it three times. No, you can't put me in that tribe. Well, on his own level, Peter also betrayed Christ. But when Jesus came back to his physical life with the disciples, his first word was peace. Here's what I believe that means. I believe that love was so strong that there was no contrary feelings toward his little crew of students. And if his contrary feelings were right with them, isn't it true then? Couldn't it also be said that his feelings for Judas would have been the same? That no matter what happened in his trial and his brutal crucifixion, and by the way, crucifixion was a Roman torture device, a Roman evil genius for absolutely torturing a victim. So if Jesus would come back to his 12, who is his 11, who had fled and ran for their lives, even locking the door, he came to them and said one word, peace. And then he added this. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. And whosoever sins you retain, well, they'll be retained. Now, the conclusion of that for just the last moments or two I have here, his conclusion was, listen, you want to hold on to sin? You want to continue to shake a finger of betrayal at Judas? Well, then you're going to retain that pain, not only in them, but for you. But you could come to a place of peace. You could come to a place by the Holy Spirit and say, I forgive. What a better way to live, ladies and gentlemen. What a higher plane to rise, to let your life be freed from the pains of betrayals. And I would add, just as a closing thought on this whole subject, I've known my fair share of betrayals. I've been, as it were, nothing near what Christ went through, but at least in a parallel trajectory. I've been told, oh, I'll never betray you, Pastor. I'll always stand at your side, only to find they didn't. And what I've had to decide for my inner healing, for my inner ontological repair, my mental health, is that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I forgive you and I love you. Of course, I may have to have boundaries. Of course, I can say, I forgive you, but I'll be over here loving you at a safe distance from your ongoing miseries that don't seem to be regretted. So I can do that, sure, but I can also sustain inside of me a contemplation of love. Well, that's my pondering for today about this resurrection weekend that is being broadcast, but also for life itself, because all of life is wrapped up in successes and failures, betrayals and embraces. Kisses on the cheek that mean all the world to us, and kisses on the cheek that are sad and harmful. But yet, what will I do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. Well, let me bring this broadcast in for a landing and invite you to breathe well. We've talked about a heavy subject today, and maybe your breathing is a little truncated. Well, put your feet flat on the floor, set up as straight as you know how, and give me your attention while at the count of three, I want you to take a good, solid, deep breath and hold it. Here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Slow yourself down. Stop the racing thoughts. Give yourself time to consider a better option. And may that option always be love. The next thing we always close with is my invitation for you to find somebody. Look them in the eye and with intentional slowness of speech and with good eye contact, say the three most holy, charmed, and magical words in the human language. And those words are these: I love you. And with those three words, you may bring somebody a place of rest, an arrested beauty, a sense of settledness that comes from your own heart and arrives in theirs. Give it a try this week. Give it a try right now if you can. I would invite you, find a stranger somewhere and shock them. Yeah, it's unsettling, it's bizarre, and it can make somebody wonder, what is wrong with you? Well, I'd rather somebody say, well, what's wrong with them is they love, than them to say, what's wrong with them is they're bitter, they're angry, they're unforgiving. I'd rather stay on the side of love. All right. Well, these are my thoughts for today. I'm so pleased that you came along to join me today. And as you go into Resurrection Weekend, let the light of a tomb that's been emptied shine inside of you. Let the light of Jesus who comes back to the world that he had just walked, and he starts his word back to this post-resurrection world with one word: peace. Peace, y'all. Peace. So I'm saying to you, peace right now. And look at me as it were metaphorically, and let me tell you, I love you. Now go out there and do something beautiful, you know, because ugly, ugly's getting done to death. It's time to have something beautiful cooking in us that we may give to a world dying in pain. God bless you and happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.